What's up, everybody? Topher here for the Glitch Podcast with my co-host,
Eugene Kappen.
And we have a guest that we just actually met on the bus ride over here. And we were like, hey, let's go hang out. We like what you're doing on YouTube.
I actually met him yesterday.
Oh, I met him on the bus. But it's Scott from NerdSync. How's it going, dude?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. So how's VidCon treating you?
You know, this is my fifth VidCon. And it changes every year, but I'm having a lot of fun so far. It's day one, so we got a lot of ground to cover still.
Yeah, I've heard that tomorrow's going to be insane.
Yeah.
Basically. So we got kind of the taste of it today.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is actually mine and Eugene's first VidCon.
First VidCon.
Yeah, and we could not do it
without our sponsor.
Hashtag
to another reality. Wow, we were like in sync. We were like nerd syncing.
Nerd
right
syncing.
Then.
Oh.
We were gonna buy that all the way to the bank.
Bye.
That's how in sync we were.
Yeah. So, Scott, tell us about your YouTube channel. So we were talking about it, and you were telling me that you basically do in depth character analyses
sure.
on comic book characters to help with educate people. So why don't you tell us more?
Yeah. So the kind of general sales pitch is that Nerd Sync is. A YouTube channel where I use comic books and superheroes to teach about real world history, philosophy, science, culture, art. Basically, I want to show it's a twofold thing, right? I want to show people that comics can be used in a more educational way. They're not just entertaining stories for children. They have complexities and depth. But I also want to show people like me who weren't very good in school that learning can be really fun if you're taught in something that is something you're already passionate about, like superheroes, and they're super present in pop culture right now. So
you're kind of using like the superheroes as the gateway drug to real education.
Exactly. Because, I mean, deep down, I'm a huge nerd who just loves learning, and I just feel like a lot of people also love learning. They just don't know it yet, so they need to be taught in a way that by something that they're already interested in, like superheroes and comics.
Nice.
Nice. So, do you have some sort of education that allows you to build these educational videos around superheroes?
Like a degree of some kind?
Yeah, like a bachelor's in superhero studies.
Yeah. Oh, I wish if that was a thing, I would get it for sure.
Go to Evergreen College, and you could definitely get that.
No, so actually, I went to.
He's making fun of me. I have a degree in YouTube studies.
Oh, do you really?
A legit degree
that's
in
amazing.
YouTube studies,
I right? That's
and
fun.
And then now I'm not even like really pursuing YouTube. I'm just taking all those skills, reapplying them.
Yeah.
As VR influencers now.
Well, the nice thing is like that kind of an education can translate really to any sort of marketing when it comes to video. It doesn't have to be a YouTube centric. You know.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, for me, I went to college to be a film producer. Like, I wanted to be specifically editing and visual effects. I loved that field. I still do. And so then I went to college. I learned some stuff, but I realized that all the stuff that they were teaching me was stuff that I already kind of knew through watching YouTube videos.
You sound like me, dude.
Yeah, really?
I went to college for the same thing, video, editing, motion graphics, and... When I got there, I pretty much knew what they were trying to teach me.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I watch YouTube. I already know all this stuff.
Exactly.
I just went for the credentials, really, you know?
Pretty much. I mean, well, the thing with, I think, film and maybe just a lot of digital media nowadays is that the people who are teaching you are people who have learned old school techniques, and so they don't really know the new stuff, and that's what I was getting frustrated with. So then I figured, why don't I, instead of going to class to learn this stuff, why don't I just start making videos on YouTube and see kind of where it goes?
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully it took off. I spent so much time doing that I never actually went to class, and I failed out, and I was like, well, I have 6 months until I have to start paying student loans, so let's just see where it goes and do YouTube full-time, and thankfully it worked out.
So were you doing YouTube full-time for like 6 months, and then you just kind of, you had the opportunity to like do it full-time without like the income of a full-time income because you were in college?
Yeah, so I failed out, and then, you know, typical story, I just kind of sadly moved back in with my parents.
There's no shame in that, right, Eugene?
Yeah.
Ouch. I got a degree in YouTube. It doesn't work for everybody.
I know, right?
Round. I can say I make YouTube videos now for a living, and I'm not living at my parents' house.
There you go. Yeah. That's progress.
It is progress.
Yeah.
You know, it just took a couple of extra years.
That's right. I mean, so I had that similar thing. I moved back in with my parents, and I really didn't have any bills to pay or anything. So yeah. I was like, well, let's just see how far I can get in 6 months before I actually have to start paying student loans. So I don't need to work on a job right now.
Yeah.
And so I started doing that. And by month five, I made a video about Guardians of the Galaxy in 2014 when the first movie came out. And then YouTube took it off. It became one of my, I think it's still my second most popular video today. For the longest time, it was my most popular video. And that was the one that made it so that I could continue doing YouTube full time.
So how many views does that have, like, currently?
90 million.
It's not that much.
1 billion. It has 5 views.
Yeah.
It has 5 views.
5 views. I actually, and it's still my most viewed video, so if that tells you anything about how I'm doing. No, it's I think it's about 1.5 million, so it's okay. A lot of my, you know, comic book stuff, specifically comics, there's not a huge audience for it. Like, even comic books today, the comic books themselves usually don't sell more than like tens of thousands of issues, like brand new comics.
The nice thing about your content, though, is that it's a timeless piece of content. Mm-hmm. Like, it can always be relevant, you know, whether someone watched that movie or they want to explore that character. Like, there's no, like, topical time period of, like, no, this is only happening in April of 2017. Like, you can watch your stuff forever, and you're going to be educating people for a long time.
Oh, that's hopefully the goal. I do try to do some tentpole stuff. You know, I did a Thanos video. I did a video about The Incredibles recently. Mm-hmm. But hopefully those are pieces that people can watch whenever. I don't specifically tie them to, like, this movie's coming up. Wait, let's talk about this.
But it definitely helps for that view count when you release the Thanos video around Infinity War.
That's right. Definitely.
So what did you think of Infinity War?
You know, I really
wait, spoilers.
It. Yeah.
For anybody who's listening, if you have not seen it yet, spoilers.
If you haven't seen it yet, keep listening to this podcast because we don't want you to quit listening. So.
Yeah. No, I really loved it. I thought it was great. It was very dark and very heavy. I saw it twice in 2 days, like within a 24 hour span. It was just split up across. I saw it the night and then the morning after.
Oh, wow.
Because I didn't think about my actions too much. So when I watched it the second time, I felt like, oh, this is like a heavy movie. I feel exhausted after this movie watching this. Yeah. So, but I liked it a lot.
Yeah, man, the end was just, that was really heavy. Yeah. Like Spider-Man clutching onto Iron Man and just like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go, Mr. Stark.
I don't want to go, Mr. Stark.
Yeah.
It's like, just like
heartstrings tear apart. I mean, I cried a little.
Yeah.
I walked out very somber, and I was like, this isn't quite accurate. Where is
I left feeling incomplete.
Inhumans? Yeah.
I did. I left feeling incomplete, like, what? This isn't how it's supposed to end.
Where is Black Bolt to save everybody?
Yeah. Where's Silver Surfer? He's supposed to be a big part of Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah. I don't know, but it's so sad. It's probably one of the saddest Marvel films I think we've had.
So do you have any, like, episodes of your show that you've been wanting to do, but you've been holding off for, whether or not they're, like, incredibly in-depth or just a really complicated character? Do you have anything like that?
Oh, yes. I have mountains of video topics that I plan on doing eventually, or just I wrote down and I'm just like, maybe I'll do it someday. I've got a ton of stuff that I've abandoned. Just recently, I had a Black Panther video all about the history of... So in the Black Panther movie and in the comic books, there's kind of like a secret service to Black Panther is the Dora Milaje, which is like this militia of all women warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a real thing that existed in Africa. There was an all-female army.
Really?
Called, yeah, they were kind of colloquially known as, I can't say that word, colloquially known as
I can't say it either, that's okay.
They were known as the Amazons of Dahomey, which is where they were from. Because, you know, Amazons, famously female warriors. But their whole history is super fascinating. They're no longer around today. And I made a whole video that covered the creation, their military training, all the way to their downfall. And I felt like I missed that window when Black Panther was quote-unquote relevant. I spent so much time researching and writing that by the time I had it filmed, like, you know, it was already a month after the movie came out. And I was like, do people even care about Black Panther anymore? Maybe they do, and I don't know.
Did you scrap it or did you post to it?
I scrapped it. It's still recorded, and I might go back and re-record it now that it's been so long, and I might post it at some point.
But, it sounds incredibly interesting.
I find it really interesting. It's just, I don't know. I hope the passion carries through the video.
I think there is a huge following still going after anything Black Panther, especially since they've, you know, announced a second movie.
Yeah.
That's going to be happening in phase 4?
Yeah, I think so. There's a lot of phases.
Yeah.
So, what's your next project that you have coming up that you are, like, super stoked? Are you sticking with what you're doing right now with the same type of things, or do you have other projects that you branch off of or other series that you want to pursue?
You know, there is, like, a one project that's so secretive that not even I can talk about it because it involves somebody else and it's a new podcast that I'm working on.
How is Everything Basic? Just kidding.
Wouldn't know, but no, it's just I have a new podcast that I'm hopefully gonna start working on with a friend of mine who's a philosophy professor at I'm so bad at remembering colleges. He's like a head of philosophy at a university in
New
York.
It's literally the Evergreen State College.
We didn't complete college, so that's why our memories are so terrible. Yeah. So.
But he's such a cool dude. He's written a lot of really awesome books. About the philosophy of certain comic book characters and pop culture series. If you've ever gone to a bookstore or seen something that says, like, the philosophy of Batman or the philosophy of Superman, it's almost always he contributes, edits and everything like that. He's such a cool dude, super smart, and he and I want to start on a project that dives into diving into philosophy of comic books in a really cool, fun way that I can't talk about just yet, but I'm very excited
about it. Is it VR? It better be VR. Is it a 360... Podiocast.
That's Podiocast.
Right. We're just gonna line the sphere with like pages of comic books, and people can read in real time as we talk about them.
So it's kind of like Equals 3.
Yeah. the whole wall of I see. Yeah.
Wall of comic books.
That's what it is.
Watchmen specifically.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. They're all pages from the Watchmen comic book.
That's interesting.
Like they clearly got like one of the full. Page books for like $30 because a lot of pages.
Just plaster them up. What an interesting comic to choose for that. I mean, it's timeless. It's classic. But. Yeah.
So you were hanging out up here at the Another Reality Suite. Did you get to play any VR?
I have not yet. I've been meaning to.
Have you ever played VR?
I played VR once. But
once.
Like the thing with for me is that I'm not, you know, even though I am a YouTuber, I don't like putting on a show in front of people, so like I would love to do VR privately in my own like home someday, but like I did VR once to like with like a crowd of people around, and I just froze. I was like, I don't want to do anything that might be embarrassing or silly or anything,
but that's part of the fun, you know. You put on a headset, you enjoy the game, you punch a friend randomly.
No, that part I'm looking forward to. Not a problem.
You know, we can put you in like Beat Saber and we can have Topher stand really close to you.
That actually happened yesterday. I got punched in the face while I was doing an Instagram story with Chase, and I don't know where Chase is, but he completely whacked me in the nose bridge right here.
Oh no.
Oh, dude, it hurts so bad.
Oh, yikes.
But no, it's funny. Like, you don't like being in VR. You see, for me, being in VR lets me kind of come out of my shell a lot easier. Because the way I see it, I'm blindfolded. I don't know who's watching me. And so, like, I'll get up there and start playing Beat Saber, start dancing my ass off, throwing some lightsabers around. And, like, I'm kind of just in my own little world. And I don't care who watches me. Because I just feel like I'm having a freaking blast.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So. It's pretty cool. You got to try some Beat Saber.
I'm desperate to try some. It looks pretty
You have good. Seen the Beat Saber.
Oh, I have seen it. Yes.
It's basically Guitar Hero with lightsabers.
I mean, that is what my friend told me yesterday. I'm like, that's why say anything else.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
So, how did you get into comics? Like what is your origin story? And you got to tell it just like a comic book.
Oh, of course. Well,
how did you
I was
in a time.
On a dark, stormy night. I was bitten by a radioactive lightning bolt and thrown into a volcano. I don't know. My dad My dad was a huge nerd. Still is. He loved comic books growing up. Had a whole collection. I remember my mom telling me stories about when they were dating. He would have to go every Wednesday to the comic book store because that's when new issues of comics come out, is every Wednesday. And so he would like drag her there bright and early just to make sure that he got the new issue of Spider-Man or something. So he kind of passed on that nerdy gene to me. I remember we had the times when I would... I have a big family, lots of siblings. So the times when I... spent time with my dad alone where when we went to go see like the Spider-Man movie, the 2002 Spider-Man movie or the X-Men movie when that first came out. And I remember just being like, yeah, superheroes and spending time with my dad. And I think as a kid that really stuck with me and I just loved, I think if I'm psychoanalyzing myself, I'd be right. Like, maybe that's why I got into superheroes, just because I thought it would be a gateway to get my parents' attention in some capacity. Yeah. But, I just kind of stuck with it. And I just love superheroes. I mean, I it might be kind of blasphemy to say, but I think I love superheroes more than I love comic books. There's a lot of talented artists and writers who are doing non-superhero comics right now. But I just love the concept of superheroes. There's so much fun, they're bright, and they're colorful, and they're complex, and they're like modern-day American mythology, and I love it.
I just love breaking down like the science behind how a power would work.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite like conversations, to like have a beer at night, like, you know, how do you think Superman actually jumps over those buildings? How does he leap those buildings in a single bound? Yeah. How does he fly? Is it just like... this just more? Yeah. Is it just harder this way? Is
more of that.
How does Superman speed up? I don't get this. I have questions and I need answers.
Of course. Well, there's actually a really great book called the Physics of Superheroes. And the very first chapter talks about how much power Superman has to exert to jump over a building in a single bound. And it talks a lot about... physics and you know, every action equal opposite reaction, how much force he puts on the ground to lift him up the same height. And so, that's another book that came out a long time ago that sparked my interest and be like, yeah, we can teach through superheroes.
See, I heard a concept about Superman that he doesn't actually fly. He just jumps a certain way.
Interesting.
Like, he doesn't actually levitate and fly.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think...
And, like, he jumps really far.
In the original comics, when he first started, he just jumped really high, then glided.
Well, he didn't even really glide. So he only had the three powers when he started, which was, like, super strength and vulnerability to most things, and, what was that? I can't remember what else. Just longevity, I guess.
Yeah.
But, like, all of this additional powers, like heat vision, ice breath.
Super sewing.
Yeah, super ventriloquism was one of them.
Which is, oh, God.
Yeah.
He was able to talk to animals for a while.
Oh, sure. He could, like, mold his face, like, shapeshift by scrunching his face in different ways. And every power you could think of, they gave it to Superman.
Do you feel like Superman is too powerful?
Nowadays... they've definitely toned him down a lot. There was a time during, I think, the 80s and maybe even early 2000s when they were just like, let's depower Superman a bit just to make it so he's not as...
Like, unstoppable?
He actually has a threat.
Let's not make him a god.
Yeah. Well, I think nowadays they're really embracing the idea of Superman as a god, and they want to kind of talk about the world that has to adapt to this, like,
to a living god on Earth.
You look at Batman v Superman, all the problems that movie had. I think the thing that it got pretty okay was this idea of how culture shifts around, like, talking about, like, here's a guy that, you know, came from the sky and he's more powerful, and how are people, you know, gonna react to that and kind of worship him. And I think that's really interesting.
So what I think it really comes down to as far as where he fits in the world, I remember this comic book where it was Green Lantern and Batman talking.
Okay.
And they were talking about Superman. And he goes, who would actually win in a fight, you or Superman? He goes, me. And he goes, why? He's so much more powerful. He goes, yeah, but fundamentally, Clark is a really good guy and I am not.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
And then Superman goes, I can hear you with my super hearing. I can hear everything you're saying. Stop talking crap.
Yeah. Well, so this is obviously Superman versus Batman is a huge nerdy debate that's been raging forever and will continue to rage until the end of time. The thing that I dislike is when people just say that Batman will win any fight because he's Batman, well, you know?
So I actually don't think Batman is a normal human being.
I've made videos
Batman's
about
rich,
this.
Dude. Yeah. That's all Batman is. Batman's rich and he's smart.
No. So I think he actually has two different abilities.
Okay, go on. I'm intrigued.
He is a polymorph, which means, or a polyathlete.
Okay.
So he can learn math really fast. He can basically master any sport.
So is he a polymathlete?
Yeah, no. So he's the perfect, like, poly being for learning new skills. Mm-hmm. And then he has the ability to basically see the different outcomes in the future so he can plan for each one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. So I have a friend, E. Paul Zare, who wrote a book called Becoming Batman, which dives into a lot of the logistics of becoming Batman and, like, how you would have to train, what you would have to do mentally and physically to prepare to be Batman. And kind of the end part of his analysis is that, like, at the end of the day, if you were able to do everything that Batman could do, even still, you could only be Batman for, like, something really small, like 4 years before your body just wears out.
Yeah, because the strain on the body of something like Batman does, like...
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And there was I don't think it's canon, but there was a comic book a couple of years ago that talked about how Batman could effectively be Batman for 27 years, and then he would just do this thing where he would clone himself every 27 years and kind of get back in the thing. But, like...
Or the Lazarus Pit.
Could do that as well. But, like, so I think with all of that, it's just, I've made videos before about, like, does Batman have superpowers? Can we even call him a superhero? Is he just a hero? And it's very complicated. And yeah.
I think he clearly fits into the vigilante category.
Yes.
But he aligns himself with superheroes to get the job done.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm comfortable calling Batman a superhero because I think... It depends on your definition, right? And everyone has a different
one.
He's definitely a hero. And I would say the thing that makes him super is the fact that he does things that a normal hero, that someone we would consider like a public hero, he goes above and beyond to get the job done. You know, I don't think he needs superpowers. He just does heroic things in a super way.
He just doesn't give
up. That's what makes him super. You get it.
Yeah, he just doesn't give up. He keeps on going. He never says no, which is what I think a normal person would put those limitations on themselves.
Yeah, and he puts his whole dedication into doing that.
I mean, he is Batman. He is not Bruce Wayne anymore. He's living as Bruce Wayne, but he is Batman. He has a responsibility as Batman.
Definitely.
What do you think of, do you think we're ever going to get a Green Arrow movie?
A Green Arrow movie.
Probably not.
Oh, dude, I want Green Arrow bad.
If they do,
I don't want Green Arrow so bad. I want a Green Arrow movie so bad.
If they do anything like that, it'll probably be like a team-up movie. Mm-hmm. Or they'll have, like, it's a Flash movie, but these other superheroes are introduced through that one story.
Yes. So I think what DC... I don't know if you guys follow comic book movie news like I do.
I do.
One of my favorite articles that came out recently, and this it reads like an Onion title... But it's real. It was something like the head of Warner Brothers said that they want to focus on making good movies now. And it's just like...
Ouch.
And it's just like, oh, yeah, maybe that was the problem?
Yeah, right?
Like, yeah, of course making good movies is key to success. So, like, and I think Kevin Feige or someone else at Marvel talked about how the best way that he thinks they could do that is by focusing on smaller characters. We don't need... more Batman and Superman right now.
Yeah.
So, like, having something like Green Arrow. I know they're going to be focusing on Aquaman. Aquaman's my favorite superhero,
that'd be so
actually.
Cool.
So I'm super excited about that.
Jason Momoa is a badass.
You must love the reboot of him, then.
Yeah.
The restyling.
Yeah. I actually do. I like... you talking about Jason Momoa? Or
Yeah.
I was skeptical at first. I really was. I was like... This isn't the Aquaman that I know. Because the Aquaman I know is, like, very regal and very...
Yeah,
you know.
I think it was the Justice League cartoon that really took his, like, classic image and then made it so, like, his hand was missing with, like, a hook. yeah. or a Sphere or whatever. And he has like this big gritty beard, and that basically put him on this pathway to be like this much darker
character.
King of Atlantis.
That was a big comic book storyline. He's lost his hand a couple times in the comics, actually. It's very just silly the way that, like, every time he gets it back, they'll come up with a way for him to lose it again. But like
almost like Star Wars
or
Marvel, somebody loses an arm.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, I was very skeptical of Jason Momoa because I was like, he looks just like an undersea warlord the way that they kind of made him. But like, I don't know, I liked him a little bit in Justice League, and just, you know, I have a big man crush on Jason Momoa anyway. So
oh, you
like,
too?
Yeah.
Oh, you too?
Who doesn't, right? Can we talk about this
for
the
next
week?
I would love to be cuddled in his big, strong arms for an hour.
I just want to look like him.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I want the hair, I want the beard, and I want the freaking body.
Yes.
I had the hair and the beard,
and
I'm missing
the body. I
don't
think you qualify for the tattoos, buddy.
Oh,
you'll have to get, like,
right.
Celtic versions.
Oh, man. Yet. So we were talking about, like, Green Arrow, Batman, and stuff. So what are your thoughts on, like, vigilantes being heroes if they don't actually have powers? I mean, obviously, we kind of concluded with Batman.
Right.
You consider him a hero.
Here, I got one better.
Ooh.
How do you feel about real-life superheroes?
Real-life? Oh. So many years ago, I almost made a video about this. The only one I know by name is Phoenix Jones.
Yep, Phoenix Jones, Seattle, baby.
So
he's from our hometown.
So I have a video with him him and I arm wrestled.
Oh, yeah?
And I
what?
Beat him.
You
I beat him.
You beat a
no
superhero?
Way.
I beat
you beat Phoenix Jones in arm wrestling?
I have protein deficiency disorder. Yeah.
How did you not tell me this?
I have
How
the
has
video.
This never come up?
And this was before he was taking off the mask.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
So it was Phoenix Jones. It
yeah,
wasn't.
But, but it just so happens that him and my cousin both trained for the UFC together.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, and that's how I got my end.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
was he as cool as I hope him to be?
He's pretty cool.
He's
dude.
A cool guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've met him a couple times too, and he let me punch him in the stomach because he's got this what's it called? I think it's called like dragon leather or something like that.
Interesting.
And it's this material that like if he were to get stabbed in the stomach, the material hardens as pressure is put into it.
Ooh.
So he goes, dude, take the biggest swing you can and punch me right in the stomach. So I went for it. He's like, nothing. He's like, here, put it on. Let me hit you. I'm like,
yeah.
I look at him like, you're going to like, am I going to go into this wall? Am I going to go to this backdrop? Am I going to go into the next booth? He's like, no, you'll be good. He punched me and I didn't feel it, but I was like, whoa! Oh man. But no redness. No.
Wow.
It was cool.
Wow, that's awesome. So they even get
I got to try on Phoenix's like chest piece on his suit. It was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that
I
dude's
love
a
that.
Beast.
So here it is.
Oh, you got it pulled up?
I got it pulled up.
We need to like Check splice this out. Into the recording.
Oh.
So I'm gonna play by play this.
Yes, please
while
do.
While we are. Is there audio on this? You should put it up next to your mic. So Phoenix Jones is arm wrestling a much younger, more emo-looking Eugene Kappen right now. And, Phoenix is taking him. Phoenix is taking him. Oh, no, Eugene is coming back. Eugene is coming back. Oh, no, Phoenix, he's faltering. He's falling back.
It's neck and neck.
He's sweating.
It's wrist and
wrist. He's gritting his teeth.
But
Eugene is flexing those muscles.
Look at the table.
Oh, he tried it.
Tried a power move there.
He tried to power move it over. Eugene's still going. Eugene, I think we need to arm wrestle this week. We should live stream that. How long does this go? Because you guys seem like pretty evenly matched. And I got to say, buddy.
A whole hour.
I am impressed that he didn't just absolutely stomp you.
So most people.
Oh, my God. Oh, there it goes. And he got him.
I pulled him off the table and into it.
You're wearing a button-up shirt and a vest.
I am.
And you beat Phoenix Jones. Were you waiting tables at, like, Canlis or something?
I was. I was working there as a waiter.
And you're like, oh, Phoenix Jones, I got a 10-minute break. Let's do this shit.
So fun fact, after that, him and I were talking, and because he knew that my cousin was a UFC fighter and... when we were kids, the adults would pair us up for boxing matches. So, very Irish.
Mm.
And he was like, oh, do you want to be a superhero? He asked me to join his crew of superheroes, and I was like, I leave for college in a month.
So I got a month to be a hero.
Yeah, that's right. That's
what
I'm
the
hearing.
Right answer is.
I tried to go out on patrol with them, but I missed them.
Oh, did you have a superhero name thought up?
I did. I was the ref.
The ref?
And there is a story behind that.
Oh, right. Well, let's hear the story. Okay. I want Scott to psychoanalyze your origin
please.
Story.
Okay,
yeah.
So, in my early 20s, I had a lot of punk friends. And so, like, I lived in a punk house for, like, 2 months, basically. And, you know, went to, you know, punk shows and mosh pit and wore a leather jacket and all this other stuff. And they actually thought it was, like, a mod, to be honest, because I also wore a lot of suits. But anyway, I went to this party at a trailer park, and one of my friends was doing a little too much coke. And
this guy
basically was like, why don't you come hang out with me and do coke in the back? And I was like,
I have asthma.
My female friend is going to get taken advantage of. So I kicked in the door and jumped in bed between them.
Oh,
nice.
And basically stopped anything from like happening. And I saw this guy a month later at a party, and he goes, you! You're the guy that reffed my shit.
Reffed?
Yeah. And wow. So from that point on, my name around those guys was the ref.
I've never heard it been used in like a verb form before.
I've never heard I got reffed.
He reffed my shit. But the thing is, like, me and that guy, his name is E-Funk, we're like really good friends to this day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good on you, E-Funk.
And he knows if, like, he ever got into a fight, I would have his back and walk in.
Yeah.
He knows if he ever took advantage of another girl, he's going to get his shit reffed.
He's going to get reffed.
I think just everybody was doing... It's like one of those things where equality is a thing. Mm. So it's not that, you know, one person is too drunk to consent. It's if they're both super drunk, neither one of them can consent.
Sure.
And shit just happens. Because that's what feminism is about.
Yeah.
So... when two people are on coke and making bad decisions, sometimes you have to step in
sometimes,
as a sober friend.
Sometimes you got to be a ref.
And be a ref.
Yeah. Hashtag get reffed.
Hashtag get reffed.
I think the hashtag we have to use is hashtag
to another reality. Yeah, so thank you to Another Reality for sponsoring our podcast for the week here at VidCon. We are having a blast. It's only day one right now, and we walked the show floor earlier. We did some Facebook Live video. We went and saw all the really cool booths. Is there any really cool booths you've seen so far?
I haven't actually explored too much of
that thing.
Actually, there is a really fun Serta mattress.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like a seating area, a lounge area. They just lay out this huge thing of mattresses for people to lay on.
It's actually 12 queen-size mattresses all sewed together.
And they have a really creepy sheep mascot
that I refuse to go towards.
I have a deep-seated fear of people in mascot costumes.
I thought you were going to say a fear of sheep.
Oh, no. The sheep are fine.
Yeah.
But people dressed as sheep with those dead eyes.
Oh, I made that joke earlier.
I hate them.
Did something happen to you, Topher, with sheep?
There was a time on a farm.
Or mascots?
No, no.
I do know that we're coming up on time. So, Scott, where can the people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on YouTube at... Just well, that's not how YouTube works. Just look for NerdSync, NERDSYNC. We have a vanity URL, but sometimes it doesn't work. So it's your best bet is just to search NerdSync in the search engine. We'll be the first ones to pop up for sure.
They'll be the biggest ones too.
Mm-hmm. And also on Twitter as well. I'm a big fan of Twitter at NerdSync, or my personal is just at Scott Nicewander. But good luck spelling it. It's a hard name.
Right on. And we want to thank our sponsors again. Another Reality, hashtag to Another Reality, ClamorCon, Reality Smash, AR Wall, the Sweet Escape game from Monster VR.
And Monster VR.
Yeah.
That's all of our sponsors
for
this episode.
So stay tuned, guys. We are going to be pumping out these episodes, and we are going to be back with more podcasts throughout the week. So stay tuned. And, dude, Scott, thank you so much for being on the show.
This was super fun. Thanks for inviting me.
Right on. And we'll see you guys next time. Yeah. Stay glitched.
All right. Stay glitched.